Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Happy Tuesday, Nashville. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Tony Tuesdays. Again, not really sure why we're calling it that, but we've got Nick Frazier.
Yeah, I guess because I have a lot of relatives named Tony.
You got the Italian, and you know.
People mistake me for a Tony sometimes.
Just stereotyping Tony, Italian name, there you go.
It's very much a stereotype.
Yeah, no, for sure, yeah.
I'm Italian, it's okay. I'm all
right. Right, okay, he's giving us the pass to call it that. Nick Frazier in with us for the full show. Should be a fun one today. Titans getting ready for their final game of the road trip against Las Vegas on Sunday, trying to get back-to-back wins. Again, we said a lot yesterday, first time in almost 3 years that they can win back-to-back games. Also, Vanderbilt coming off that Alabama game. We touched on it briefly yesterday, but I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into that today. Preds are 2 days away from opening their season. The NHL opens their season tonight. Lots to get to. But before we get into the Titans, that Monday Night Football game last night, not quite as crazy as Titans-Cardinals. Titans-Cardinals set the bar high for wild finishes to a football game. But man, yesterday from Trevor Lawrence trying to jump over the pile on fourth down at the goal line and fumbling, and then Patrick Mahomes throwing a 99-yard pick six, and then the final touchdown, Trevor Lawrence falls, stumbles trying to get up, and still scores a touchdown. Jaguars are now 4-1 on the year.
It was an absolute shambles of a game yesterday. I couldn't really wrap my head around. Wait, he fell down. Oh, he's going for it. Oh, and then in the third quarter, he tried to go for it in the goal
right,
line
and fumbled.
And there were some like camera angles that looked like the ball came over, but it was almost like a fraction of short of the goal line.
It was like the DeMarcado play on Sunday with the Titans, where it's like, you look at it, and you're not 100% sure he lost possession before he got to the goal line, but it's close enough that it's like, all right, yeah, I guess that's a fumble. What a weird game last night. I did watch the Manning cast for a little bit. I hadn't watched it at all this year. I don't know if I'm going to go back to watching it. Yeah. Like, it was novel for a little bit there when it first started, and it was, like, interesting and fun. But, you know, they had Glenn Powell on. What's her name from SNL? She's a Chiefs fan. I forget her name.
Tina Fey.
No, like recent SNL. Oh. Gardner. Heidi Gardner.
Oh, okay.
They had her on. She was a big Chiefs fan, and they had her on during the Devin Lloyd pick six, and her reaction was actually pretty funny. But what a weird game, weird weekend. Speaking of the last touchdown of the game for Trevor Lawrence, have you seen Chris Jones on that play?
No.
Like, talk about all-time loaf from a player. Like, did not care at all. They're probably going to show the replay here on Good Morning Football in a second. Lawrence falls down, and it looked like Chris Jones was kind of the spy on that play. Like, he was going to sit back and make sure Lawrence didn't run for a touchdown.
Right.
But then he just kind of stands there and watches Trevor Lawrence run into the end zone. It was hilarious. It's like, dude, you are supposed to be one of the best defensive players in football. And he easily could have gotten there. Easily. They'll show it in a little bit. I'll point it out when they get there. But what a weird game. And who would have thought at the beginning of the year that we'd say on October 7th, the Colts and Jaguars are both 4-1.
And
crazy.
Chiefs and Ravens are struggling. 2-3 and 1-4.
Right.
Never would have thought that.
We're going to talk some Ravens later in the show because the Ravens are an interesting team. Maybe the most intriguing storyline through the first 5 weeks of the season because of the expectations for that team and just how bad they've been. I mean, the Texans, that game wasn't even close. And I understand Cooper Rush was starting at quarterback. Mm-hmm. That has a lot to do with it. But the Ravens, you're getting to desperate times over there in Baltimore. But, man, Jaguars and Colts, 4-1. I would not have guessed that in a million years. I think I had the Colts winning four games all year.
Really?
I mean, I would have to look back at my predictions that we did.
At least you didn't say the Vikings.
Yeah, that's true. Vikings 4-13. And
whoops.
The Bengals sadly clinched that they will not reach their 15-win total that you had projected on Sunday.
It's over. Cookies, as they say.
That team's been bad with Jake Browning. But yeah, what a weird weekend in the NFL. I mean, the Titans and Cardinals take the cake for strangest game. I saw somebody made a TikTok of like, it was kind of like a meme recap of the Titans-Cardinals game with all these sound effects and stuff. And every time I watch all of the weird things that happened in that game, I cannot believe how perfectly it shook out for the Titans to win that football game. But a win is a win. You know, you're not 0-5, which...
Weird touchdown that Tyler Lockett had that he recovered in the end zone. I listened to McAfee's version of it, and there you go. This just doesn't happen every single week. Like, this is something you see it would go not the Titans' way.
Yeah.
And it went the Titans' way for once. It's kind
of
crazy.
It's one of those things, and I forgot about this play in the Colts or the Chiefs-Jags game. The pass interference that just wasn't called, where one of the DBs just lights up Washington, Parker Washington, and Trent McDuffie picks it off. Yeah. What a strange game. And I always have said that I prefer the NFL to college football because the quality of play is so much better. And usually the stuff that you see where the ball's pinballing around and weird stuff is happening, that only happens in college football. That has not been the case over the last couple of weeks, at least this week, with just some strange things happening across the NFL.
Yeah, and also in that Kansas City game when Kelce scores a little touchdown rub route at the bottom of the screen if you were watching it, that was a pass interference call. How'd that not get called?
Yeah, the officiating was not good. Here, they're about to show it. Watch Chris Jones on this play. Like, Chris Jones, again, like you have such a pedigree for being an elite player in this league. Oh, this is the pass interference first. But you have such a pedigree for being a great player in the NFL. And all you need is some effort here, and you would have stopped Trevor Lawrence. Now, does that win you the football game? I don't know. The Jaguars had no timeouts. The clock would have been running. They still might have scored on the very next play, but you got to make an effort here. Watch Chris Jones on this play, 95 in the middle, standing there, and just watches Trevor Lawrence run into the end zone.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's, I mean, all-time loaf from one of the top defensive players in football, at least over the last 5 years. So, wow. Trevor Lawrence... Falls again, gets up, runs into the end zone. Jaguars are now 4-1 on the year.
He looks like a kid that's playing football at recess. He fell down in the dirt and trying to get back up to go across the cul-de-sac.
I mean, again, this is like high school, college stuff that we're seeing in the NFL the last couple of days. Wow. It makes it entertaining for sure. But yeah, the Chiefs now 2-3, Jaguars now 4-1. We've had some really entertaining primetime games over the last couple of days. I mean, Thursday night, who would have thought the 49ers and their skeleton crew would be able to beat the Rams? And then Sunday night, the Vrabel special beats the 4-0 Bills. No more undefeated teams across the NFL. And only one more winless team. And guess what, Titans fans? It is not you. As the Titans got a win on Sunday, 22-21 over the Arizona Cardinals. We will dive more into that game next. Did something finally click for the Titans on Sunday? Is this something that they can build on and go get a win against the Raiders? I mean, I rewatched that the offense down the stretch in that game, and it actually looked like an NFL offense. Like, it's... Yeah. That's something I haven't been able to say for a while. Like, they didn't make it look hard. They took the easy plays, and they made the plays when they needed to go get points on the board. Now, do I expect them to do that for all four quarters in every single game moving forward? Obviously not. But can you get some more consistency from the Titans moving forward? I think that's going to be important. Can that spark you to doing that more often than you have through the first four games?
Maybe.
Five games.
So maybe.
We'll talk about it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. We've got some good texts in the text line already. Again, 615-737-1025. We'll talk Titans on the other side. The Blue Raiders will take on Missouri State tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as midweek action starts in Conference USA. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Off and rolling on this Tuesday morning, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We'll talk Titans on the other side here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan yesterday talking about Calvin Ridley and the progress that we saw from him after a couple of tough games to start off his season. He made some big plays down the stretch, and him and Cam Ward finally got a little bit of that connection that we had heard so much about during training camp. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. I'm wondering after Sunday's game, because, you know, as lucky as the Titans got to be in position to win that game, they went out and made the plays to win the game. Like, yes, The fumble at the goal line from the Cardinals. If he crosses the goal line, that game is over. If the DB for the Cardinals doesn't fumble the ball after picking off Cam Ward, that game is over. But those plays put them in position, and they went out and made the plays necessary to win the game after that. Can they continue to build on that offensively? Because Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley finally looked like they were in sync. You saw the tight ends make plays. Gunnar Helm with the great catch over his shoulder at the pylon. Chigakonkwo had a nice catch on that final drive to set up the field goal. Like, it's been a while since I've seen the Titans offense play with that kind of rhythm and flow. Is that just a flash in the pan? Hey, they got into a little bit of a groove for a couple of drives. Or is that something they can build off of? Again, against a Raiders team that they're 1-4 too. They just got beat by 35 against the Colts on Sunday. Can you go and build on that and start to build some consistency as an offense?
I think it's a little mixture of both. I think the football gods kind of lean their way a little bit for some of those plays against Arizona. But primarily, it's something that we all talked about this offseason. Well, haven't really talked about much this past offseason into now is the offensive line play. Now that we've seen how bad they've been in previous weeks, but this past week, you prefaced it in the first segment, they looked pretty serviceable. Like, they looked good. Ollie Udoh looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Dan Moore Jr. looked pretty good. I just think if you have that play on a consistent basis, that's solely what you're hoping to have every week. Because if you don't have that, then you're forced to use Gunnar Helm and Chigakonkwo as extensions of the offensive line. Then you have no offensive production. Then you're forcing plays into your wide receivers that are probably in double coverage. And then you got to run the ball with Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears now back in the fold. And you have to really work stuff out of the backfield, which doesn't work out well for the most part.
Yeah, I think the offense, even early in the game, looked to be running better. They couldn't seem to convert on third downs throughout the entire first three quarters, really. I mean, you had early in the game, you had drops from Ian Manner. One of them was probably more on Cam Ward, or at least shared blame between the two of them.
Kind of let him too much out.
Yeah, let him a little bit. Ian Manner alligator armed it a little bit. He did have the one drop that was fully on him. I mean, in traffic, but you got to hold on to that. You had Gunnar Helm had a drop. Tyler Lockett, there was the one that was behind him. Like, it just, you were seeing the play calling was a little bit better. The offensive line was holding up. You had another weapon in Tajay Spears, but it just didn't look crisp until those last couple of drives. I do wonder if Spears having another week back, you having that confidence from Cam Ward of like, hey, not only confidence in the process of like, hey, I made a good throw and it helped us win a game. And also, maybe J.C. Latham is back. I heard Paul on Robbie and Rex Road this morning say that he feels pretty good that J.C. Latham is going to be back this week. If you can have that offensive line being a solid unit and keeping Cam Ward protected and establishing the run game, maybe this offense can start to take some strides. Because I did think the play calling was better, the protection was better. Now it's about putting it all together and having a full game of that instead of just 12 minutes or whatever it was at the end of the game on Sunday.
I mean, if you add J.C. Latham back into the equation on the offensive line, that's huge. Because if you have the consistent production out of Ollie Udoh that you had this past Sunday, and you use him as a utility tackle on the right or left side, let's say Dan Moore Jr. is having a rough game against somebody, Ollie, get on in there. You could plug him as that left tackle, and maybe that gives the offense a little boost and some consistency like you talked about on that offensive line.
Yeah, I think Dan Moore, he did give up one sack. I think PFF credited him with one, but overall, I thought he looked better the last 2 weeks at left tackle. And you're right. I think you feel better about your swing tackle situation with what Ollie Udoh's done the last couple of games. Like, he didn't get destroyed by Will Anderson a couple of weeks ago. Now, did he have a great game? No. And I didn't really notice him all that much on Sunday against Arizona, which, as a tackle, especially a backup tackle, that is a compliment right there. I didn't notice you. Like, that's what you want. If you're noticing the right tackle, it's probably not good. So yeah. I think that is important to say, is like, even when J.C. Latham is back, maybe an injury doesn't make you quite as scared because you don't have to put John Ajukwu in there or Jalen Duncan or a rookie like Brandon Crenshaw Dixon. You've got a guy who you at least feel confident, hey, he's gone in there, he's been a serviceable player for us.
Yeah, and to stay along the lines of the offensive line play and to kind of tie Cam Ward into all of this, to to me, looking at Cam Ward with all those, I guess, miscues throwing the ball to certain wide receivers, it's almost as if Cam Ward has kind of trained his body and mentality like, I need to get the ball out quick, because the last couple of weeks, offensive line has not been great for me. Like, he even made the comment, everybody knows that it's gone viral about how this team's terrible. And
we asked.
Like, I think that has been engraved in his brain a little bit, to the point to why he didn't have certain throws that went well for him.
Yeah. I mean, we went through his stats over a 6-quarter span from Houston to the first half of the Cardinals game. He was like 15 of 42 for 160 yards.
That's rough.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And that's not something you can just gloss over. Like, the accuracy has been an issue to this point, but I think the hope is that that fourth quarter can be a spark. Instead of just okay, he had one good quarter, can he build off of it? We saw with J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings in that first game against the Bears. He struggled early on, and then he had a great fourth quarter and couldn't build off of it the next week. Obviously, he got hurt too, so not a perfect comparison. But, like, can you make sure that it's not just, oh, he had one good quarter and then went back to having a 40% completion percentage? Can he build off that and find a rhythm with his receivers and go get a win on Sunday?
And it all ties back to the offensive line for me. If you have consistent play, I think he can build off of it.
I think it is important for him not to be scared. Like, not, maybe scared's not the right word. Anticipating pressure. Like, yeah. I think what we've seen is that he is preparing himself that he's going to get hit, and he's trying to get the ball out a little too fast. You got to get it out quick, but maybe he's just feeling pressure where it's not. I'm trying to think of, like, not like seeing ghosts like the Sam Darnold thing, but, like, you know, maybe tricking himself into thinking he has less time to actually get it out.
Right, and you mentioned time getting the ball out of the pocket. I think this past weekend when I was on with Joe for the pregame show is that they're on NextGen Stats, he had like 2.96 seconds in the pocket to get rid of the ball. I think it ranked like 7th across all quarterbacks in the league. I'll double check that in the break, but that's quick. Either that's a good observation or a bad observation. Numbers don't really give you the full, you know, true tell of what it is. But for this case, the Titans, if you have about 2.5 seconds, give or take, you have to make a quick decision.
Yep.
And we all know what that line's done for him. Not much.
Yeah, you hope that J.C. Latham coming back and what we've seen over the last couple of weeks continues. I mean, again, the sack numbers have gotten better. You had 6 in week 1, 5 in week 2, and then I think you've only had 8 total the last 3 games, which, you know, you wish it was less than that, too, but, like, but at the very least, you're not giving up 5 sacks a game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line. Trey, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well.
Hey, you know what I want to see in the game? I want to see Cam Ward string along a few first downs in a drive, just to build confidence. You know, I think he's lacking in confidence, even though he's not saying it. I do believe that he's lacking in his confidence. And, okay, the hero ball stuff, that's fine. But he does need to go down there, you know, and get in the end zone a few times just to build up his confidence. You know, I know our offensive line needs some help. You know, stop letting a free man come in there and bust his head all the time. They need to work on that. If they work on that and give Cam some time, I think he'll do all right. But he does have a lot of work to do. But I think he'll get better. He just needs to build up his confidence. Do y'all agree with that, guys? And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Trey. I don't know if Cam Ward is ever going to lack in confidence, but I think maybe there was a frustration building with Cam Ward of just not seeing any positive results. And it's like, man, and maybe starts to press a little bit. I'm hoping Sunday was that breakthrough of, like, all right, I can do this. I can go win a football game in the NFL, and I can make the big throws at the big times when I need to. I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. Based on what we've heard from Cam Ward, I don't know if he'll ever actually lack confidence.
No.
But I agree that there was probably a frustration, and maybe that's a breakthrough on Sunday of, like, all right, I can settle in. Like, I can do this. We finally got the win under our belt.
You hope so, because he is the face of this franchise going forward. He is the captain. He is the quarterback. He is the everything.
Right.
So you can't be in the mindset of, oh, poor, pitiful me. You have to be in the mindset of, I'm the alpha dog. I am here to take charge. this is my team.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point, because the Titans' hopes as a franchise, they hang on Cam Ward's shoulders. And it was a good step on Sunday to see him make some big-time throws down the stretch to help lead a comeback in that game. Obviously got a lot of help. The Cardinals gave the Titans every opportunity to come back in that game, and they took advantage of it, which, again, is not something we've been able to say very much over the last couple of years. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. More thoughts on Cam Ward on the other side. Also, how much of a leash did Sunday's win buy Brian Callahan? Because that seat was blazing hot heading into Sunday's game. Does that win cool it for just a week? Or do you think he bought himself a couple more games here as the head coach of the Titans? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Preds fan, Smashville Live returns tonight at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, and also get autographs and pictures. Tonight's Preds player guests will be Nicholas Haig and Nick Perbix. Make sure to tune in right here on 102.5 The Game, or head down there to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on your Tuesday morning. More Titans on the other side here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan yesterday. His first victory Monday since November of last year. Said the coffee tastes a little better, sky's a little bluer.
Coffee does taste better, Brian.
I wonder if it's the caramel coffee.
Yeah, I wonder if they have the golden caramel coffee over there too.
It's possible.
It's possible. Maybe the Mardi Gras one. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Brian Callahan, you could tell the relief from him just to finally get one back in the win column. And we were talking during the break, Nick, about, like, that win doesn't save his job. Like, his job is far from safe. And I said the odds of him keeping his job into 2026 are slim and none. But slim is still there. Slim has not left the building yet, and this win, I think, at least buys him a couple more weeks. I think a win on Sunday against the Raiders would buy him at least until the bye week.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you lose the rest of your games after that heading into the bye week and you're, what, 2-7, then, all right, maybe they make a change. But I think this at least buys him through the Patriots game, and, you know, we'll see what happens there. But the Titans' schedule actually sets up, it doesn't set up terribly for this team after heading into this Raiders game. The Raiders are 1-4. New England's proven to be pretty good. You know, they just beat the Bills on the road on Sunday night, but that's at home. Then you're at Indianapolis, and then after that Indy game, you don't leave Nashville again until December. You get a month straight at home. Now, this isn't to say that they're going to win a bunch of those games, but it does give you the opportunity to go win games, right? Like, that's what you're looking for. Is you're not playing Buffalo on the road, Kansas City on the road, Philadelphia on the road, three straight. Like, this is a palatable schedule for an NFL team. Do we think Callahan has a chance to start to stack some wins and maybe cool that hot seat off a little bit longer?
I think it's possible. If he just wins the games that are against teams that have losing records, I think that's primarily what you have to do. You have to compartmentalize the schedule a little bit. If you can go beat, you know, the Raiders this weekend, that'd be nice. But then you look at, you mentioned the whole month of November being at home. You have to maybe, I'd say for sure you have to win one game, but maybe two.
Well, it is funny looking at the Titans' schedule, and like heading into the year, you would have thought the Colts games and the Jaguars games were like, oh, those are going to be winnable for sure.
Split them down.
And it's
middle.
Like those teams are both 4-1. Like, not I don't think that either of those teams are like top line AFC contenders. Like, are the Buffalo Bills scared of the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Indianapolis Colts? No. But it is funny, you look at those games and you're like, those are winnable. And now it's like, oh, those teams are top of the AFC right now. So we'll see on that. But I think Brian Callahan, right now, I think has bought himself a little time by not going to 0-5. Because I said it yesterday, if DeMarcado crosses the line with that football, there's a chance that he is not the head coach of the Tennessee Titans anymore.
It's
like
possible.
You're 0-5. They were down 28-6 at that point. You wonder if maybe that play would have kind of broken the Titans' spirit and just, you know, they kind of fold after that. It felt like instead it sparked the Titans that they got that break. So I wonder how much time this buys him. If you do go lose to the Raiders on Sunday and then you lose to the Patriots, maybe a change gets made sooner rather than later. But I think at this point, you can see a path for him to make it through the season if he's able to win some of these more winnable games, especially the ones you play here in Nashville.
Yeah, and that only just helps the fan base get behind you a little bit. And I think you ride the momentum of your fan base, that kind of helps solidify your job just a little bit more. Obviously, winning cures a lot of things here, but if you have your fan base behind you a little bit, that buys you a little more time.
I think there are a lot of Titans fans that are never going to be on board with Brian Callahan.
But I'm just saying, you win some games, they'll be happy about
right. it. Right. Well, it's just funny. Like, I mentioned to you, too, that on the YouTube chat yesterday, somebody asked, like, if Brian Callahan finishes 9-8, does he keep his job? I'm like, yes. If Brian Callahan wins 9 of his last 13 games, yes, he keeps his job. But that's a stretch, a big one. I think in order to have any chance to not get fired after this season, Brian Callahan probably needs to win 6 games. So that would mean after starting 0-4, you got to go 6-7 at the very least. You already got one of those wins. I think that's the very minimum, and I don't think 6 wins is guaranteed to save his job. I think if you're 7-10 and you go above 500 after an 0-4 start, I think he keeps his job. But again, like, this is he's won 4 out of his first 22. So, yeah. Like,
it's a tall hill to climb.
Like, to guess that he's going to win 6 of his next 13 is not exactly reasonable.
Yeah.
Possible.
It is possible. I mean, looking at their schedule right now, I'm not going to say these are gimme games, but they're definitely in the battle for these. December 28th against the Saints, they're a pretty bad ball club. The Browns obviously beating the Packers early in the season.
The Browns have actually looked like a better team than I expected them to.
Under who? What quarterback, Jake?
Dylan Gabriel.
I'm telling you, the dude's pretty good. Just putting that out there. And then you have to at least win a game against the Texans. I know you were shut out 26-0, but out of the AFC South, out of those 3 other teams, that's the one team to me that you have the best chances against.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
because right now Jacksonville looks pretty solid, and Indianapolis looks like a Super Bowl contender.
I don't know about that. Like, they look really good, but, like, again, I always go back to the AFC is the quarterback conference. Right. And, like, if Daniel Jones has to go beat Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen in 3 straight games, do you think he's going to be able to get through that? And I can't see it.
I don't know. When it comes to the playoffs, and I'm not trying to deviate from Titans talk here, but when it comes to the playoffs for Indianapolis, they got a bell cow running back they can rely on. And I think if you can put more on his shoulders, less on Daniel Jones, and just pick and choose when you can, I mean, that's football, but when you pick and choose your battles passing the ball, I think they do a really good job at that. I think Shane Steichen does a really good job at calling plays.
No, and they're 4-1, and I think right now I'd pick them to win the division over Jacksonville. I think in the playoffs, in the AFC, like, that's you got to have a quarterback who can go toe-to-toe with the big guys, and they don't. Like, Daniel Jones, great story. He's looked really good through 5 weeks, but AFC Championship game in Buffalo, who are you taking?
Buffalo.
Taking Josh Allen. The MVP.
That's fair.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have thoughts. For Brian Callahan, like, I'm happy for him. He got the win. But we talked about it yesterday about how if you go under the hood of that win, like, Brian Callahan still had his issues in that game of decision-making. And I know he said yesterday that, like, the going for 2 after the Tony Pollard touchdown, that their philosophy is going to be kicking it in that situation. And that, you know, it's fine. If you're going to be consistent with it and that's what your analytics say and that is what your numbers say, fine. Wouldn't have been my decision. And obviously, it you know, you shot yourself in the foot because Joey Sly missed the extra point. But there were some questionable game management decisions in that game from Brian Callahan. The win covers some of that up. Let's see what happens on Sunday. Because I think Sunday is a huge game for Brian Callahan, because right now you can look at that game and say, you know what, it's kind of a fluky win. Not kind of. It was a fluky win. Can you go out and build on the confidence you gain from it and go beat a team that, quite honestly, isn't that if they're better than you, it's not by a ton. Geno Smith has thrown 9 interceptions this year.
That's bad.
We're going to talk more about the Raiders a little bit later, but
right.
You know, it's going to be an interesting game on Sunday because, you know, in a game that probably is the worst game on the slate, there's a lot on the line for Brian Callahan. Go win back-to-back games. Again, it hasn't been done since November of 2022.
And I'm sure Bo Hardigree, as an offensive play caller, wants to show the Raiders he still has something in the bag because he was their interim OC for a time being in 23. He's got something to prove as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of storylines in this game coming on Sunday. I believe, you know, Bill Callahan was with the Raiders.
He was the head coach. Yep. Yeah.
So there's some definitely, I wouldn't say bad blood, but there's some stuff to prove for both parties.
Ron on our text line asked, let me ask you this. The Titans were already out west. Why did they come back home knowing they got to go right back out west? It's because Amy was going to fire Brian if he lost to the Cardinals. That move was announced when they released the schedule, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they released the schedule, and immediately somebody asked, are you going to be staying out west? And the Titans said no. So unless they were planning on firing Brian Callahan in April or May when the schedule came out, that was not the reason they came back. But yes, typically teams do stay out west for those trips. Titans decided not to, but that decision, at least to my memory, was made right when the schedule came out.
Yeah, and to the point of the preseason, I don't know if you remember Callahan saying this, but that whole preseason stretch where they were on the road, they stayed in hotel rooms and they stayed in you know, whatever it may be. I think it was primarily because he just wanted to build a culture and chemistry with that team.
Yeah.
I think they've already built whatever they can build.
Right.
And so, yeah, you just make the decision to come home. And nonetheless, like you said, it was already predetermined before the season began.
Yeah. I don't think there was any, like, maybe after week 5 we might want to fire Brian, so let's bring him back home. I think this was all predetermined. Honestly, it might have been Brian Callahan's decision. So I don't think there's any kind of conspiracy theory there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hang with Titans fans, including the crew from 1025 The Game at Overhang Bar at Circa in Las Vegas. Drink specials are included, plus giveaways, including 2 tickets to the Titans and Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information. The Titans are now 1-4. Guess who else is? The Baltimore Ravens. Interestingly enough, though, they are still favored to win the AFC North. I wanted to have a quick conversation on the Baltimore Ravens. We'll do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday, wrapping up hour number one. Jamming out here on this Tuesday.
Backstreet Boys, man.
I love it.
How can you not love the Backstreet Boys?
I love it. 8566, we were just talking about Callahan and the decision to kick down by 9. And he sent a chart with, like, all of the different it's kind of interesting of, like, what you should do when you're down by a certain amount. It looks like down 9 is, like, right in the middle. Like, it's basically 50-50. Like, 10 is obviously where you would go for it because, you know, you want to make it a one-possession game. 14 is the big one where it's like sometimes the numbers will tell you, like, if you're down 14 late, go for 2. That way you can either win it with an extra point or you can tie it if you go for 2 again. So very interesting stuff. You know, I thought Brian Callahan was – he didn't cost the team the game, obviously. They won the game. And I mentioned yesterday, I thought his – clock management down the stretch was very good. The way he called his timeouts and setting up the kick to win it at the end, I really liked the way Brian Callahan did all of that. The end of half sequence wasn't great, but, you know, they won the game. Covers it up.
Yeah, and I think there's 2 things to take away from that. One, Brian Callahan delegating play calling to Bo Hardigree and letting other coaches do their job where he doesn't have to call plays and oversee everything. I think that opened up his brain a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, there's an incompetency level. No, it's just that he had too much on his plate.
And
I think he's starting to understand that maybe being a head coach, you don't have to do everything. Maybe you can actually have a coaching staff to do their work.
Yeah, and you can delegate stuff. And again, I like the play calling for the most part from Bo Hardigree.
Yeah.
I love the 2 deep shots to Chim Dike. Cam just missed them. And you hope moving forward he'll be able to hit some of those. 615-737-1025. Titans are 1-4. I mentioned heading into the break, the Baltimore Ravens are 1-4 too.
Wow.
Off to a horrible start this year. That defense is atrocious.
I mean, they're missing like everybody.
They are. I saw there was a graphic during that Texans Ravens game of like from 2000 to 2024. Ravens defense, because that's what they're known for. Like, the Ravens defense is always good, and it was like first in this category, second in this category, third in this category, and this year they are dead last in almost everything. They are horrible on defense, and a lot of that is injuries. You know, they got Nnamdi Matabike, who's been out. I think he just went on IR. Mm-hmm. Has Roquan Smith has missed some time too?
Yes,
like,
he was on the previous
right,
injury report.
Like, they... I understand it's injuries a lot, but they're 1-4. And I saw yesterday, it was Kay Adams who tweeted this out, the Baltimore Ravens are still the odds-on favorite to win the NFC North.
I don't understand that. Like, how can you have a team that's 1-4? I get they have a lot of talent, but they're all injured.
Well, and their schedule does lighten up. Like, you look at their schedule, and it's a murderer's row. They beat the Browns. The four losses have come against the Bills, the Lions, the Chiefs, and the Texans.
All top teams.
But Lamar Jackson wasn't playing against the Texans.
Right.
So, again, grain of salt. They do play the Rams this upcoming week, and then they have a bye week. So there's a decent chance. You don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to play this week. There's a decent chance you're 1-5 heading into the bye week. But after that, you go Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. Like, you could reel off some wins there.
Yeah.
So I get it. This
and
team's,
get back to 500.
Right. This team's going to be – I don't think they're going to be completely out of it. But, man –
they have a tough hill to climb.
They're horrible. They got blown out by the Texans. They played some close games this year. Again, maybe saying they're horrible is too much, but like their defense has been horrible.
They're subpar.
And it's like if Lamar Jackson isn't out there and your defense is that bad, your offense can't keep up. 1-4 is tough. I don't get the Steelers. Like, I don't think the Steelers are a great team, and I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender by any means. Okay. And obviously, the Bengals may be the worst team in football since Joe Burrow got hurt. Browns are not good.
That's fair.
So it's the Steelers and the Ravens who are fighting for the AFC North. With Mike Tomlin, and they're 3-1, it's like, all right, the Steelers, they're going to end up at 9-8. Do we think that the Ravens can get to 10-7? I don't know. They're going to have to make a run, and you need to make sure that Lamar Jackson is healthy. It's been an interesting start to the season. As one of the people in our YouTube chat says, the Ravens are 1-4, the Colts and Jaguars are 4-1 with the Bills and Eagles. It's a weird season, and it is. 3337 on our text line asked this question, and I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but I wanted to pose this. If the Ravens are still bad at the deadline and end up being sellers, would you give up a 6 or a 7 to bring the King back to Nashville? I know it's homerish and ain't going to happen, but would be great for Cam and the fans. Really?
No.
If that was on the table, like if King Henry, if Derrick Henry goes, you know, yeah, we gave our shot here with the Ravens, but I don't think it's going to work out. Although he just signed an extension, didn't
he? It was
okay, never mind.
2 years, 30 million.
I was going to say he just signed an extension. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you were offered that chance, I think the Titans would do it. It's not going to happen. I don't think he would want it. I don't think the Ravens would want it.
I mean,
I think the Titans would want it.
Yeah, from a PR standpoint, sure. But if they were to do that, that means Derrick Henry's given up the opportunity to go for a Super Bowl. That means
right.
He's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm going to end my career here in two-tone blue and call it a day.
Right. But I think for Derrick Henry, you look at, yeah, maybe this season doesn't end well for the Ravens, but who do you think is going to be a better team next year? Probably the Baltimore Ravens.
And the good thing about the Ravens is if they end up, I wouldn't say losing out, but having a bottom five,
right,
bottom six
right.
record,
you
they have a top six pick.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And I don't think that – I mean, reading off their schedule, the Ravens are going to win at least 7 games, at the very least. But off to a slow start, it's an interesting question. I mean, because I do think at the end of his career, I think maybe Derrick Henry comes back and does a farewell tour with the Titans. Because, like, the way he's built, I think he's going to be good enough to still be an NFL running back for a while. Kind of like a Frank Gore kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like he can still play even if he's not going to be an elite three down back. So I wouldn't be surprised if 3 years down the road, when Derrick Henry knows he's going to hang it up soon, if he comes back and is just like he's your backup running back for the Titans.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, as to the Ravens now with Derrick Henry, one thing they're missing out on is running the ball with him. Like, there was that stat, I think, when he was with the Titans, if he had under 20 carries a game,
yeah,
the Titans ended up losing, or some ungodly
right
stat like that. Same thing right now applies to the Ravens. Under 20 snaps or 1-4. Like, just get the guy some ball. Like,
right.
Just give him the ball. Let him run the ball a little bit. One, it manages the clock. Two, takes a lot more pressure off Cooper Rush. Just call a better game plan.
Well, and it is tough because Derrick Henry, this Ravens team could be 3-2 if it weren't for him fumbling twice at the end of games.
That
which,
Buffalo,
you know,
game.
The Buffalo game. The Buffalo game, clearly, the Lions game was a little bit more just like the fumble didn't cost them the game, but obviously it didn't help. 615-737-1025. Ravens off to a slow start, 1-4. I didn't hear Paul and Robbie talking this morning about maybe Jeffrey Simmons to the Ravens. If instead of selling, they look to go make a big splash to get them back into contention, I don't know. I've said it with the Jeffrey Simmons trade saga of, like, set your price high, and if no one matches it, you keep him.
Yeah.
But maybe the Ravens, maybe the Bills, maybe they get desperate enough that it's like, hey, we've got a window here. The Chiefs are 2-3. They're going to have to play on the road in the playoffs most likely. Let's go get one more piece to try and solidify ourselves as the favorites in the AFC. And for the Bills, if it's like, all right, we give up the 32nd pick if we feel like we can go win the Super Bowl, and we give up a third that's just inside the top 100, is that worth it to go get Jeffrey Simmons? And again, I'm not saying that in a normal situation that's what the Titans would get for Jeffrey Simmons, but I think the Titans have all the leverage. It's just like, hey, if you're not going to meet our price, we have no reason to trade him. But if you want to give us a first and a third, he's yours.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, because the Ravens, literally, you have to have the stars align for the Titans to get their maximum value for Jeffrey Simmons, because you got to have teams that are playoff worthy, the teams that are Super Bowl contenders, and the Ravens are one of them. And so if you have all your assets, all your ducks in a row, and your stars line up for Jeffrey Simmons to be gone, I'm with you, Jake. I think a first and third's honestly a fair trade in that circumstance.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is like, there shouldn't be a negotiation here. It
right
shouldn't be you. The Bills call you and say, what do you want for Simmons? And you say, oh, we'll do a first and a third. And they're like, how about a second and a fourth? And it's like, deal. It's like, no, it should be, hey, we have him for 2 more years. He's playing some of the best football of his career. If you give us way above what you should, we'll give him to you. Blow our socks off, as Barry Trotz said with UC Soros.
Yeah.
But if you don't, we're perfectly fine keeping the anchor of our defense in place.
Yeah.
And
they'll be okay with that.
Right.
Because, look, if you end up holding on to Jeffrey Simmons, I even heard Paul and Robbie say this as well, like, sign him to an extension.
Right. The way he's playing right now, I have no problem holding on to Jeffrey Simmons. But it's like, also, if somebody's willing to overpay and give you premium draft capital, I wouldn't hate it too. Because this team is more than a Jeffrey Simmons away from being competent again, competitive.
The only way you rebuild the team is through the draft.
Right.
And if this team ends up being a bottom four team, you're going to have really good draft capital, because if you're smart, you trade back that number one overall pick. Let's just say if they're the worst team. You know?
Yeah. And that's what Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi said, is they want all of these picks, 30 total picks over 3 years and 12 in the top 100. Yes, trading out of your early pick next year could be huge and get you a big cluster of picks, but maybe won't get you enough to get to where you need to be quickly. And an extra first, an extra third, maybe a second, like that could help accelerate this rebuild if you can get more young talent in here. Because who knows if Jeffrey Simmons is going to be the same Jeffrey Simmons when this team is actually competitive for the AFC South and to get back into the playoffs again.
Yeah, I mean, minus Femi Oladejo this year, I think this draft class has been a success.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say so? I mean,
Right. I mean, I think you look at this draft class and say a lot of those guys are pieces to build around,
yeah.
Which is, it's more than you could say for a lot of the draft classes from 2020 to 2023, even 5 games into their career. You're like, man, this draft class is kind of underwhelming. Yeah. And so far, I think you feel good about it. You hope that last year's draft class with Latham and Sweat can get healthy and back on the field, because they're obviously going to be big parts of it as well. Robert says if the Titans trade Jeff, and they should absolutely not, but if they did, it'd be to the Patriots. The Patriots don't need a defensive tackle, though, and I don't think they're going to give up a first-round pick to go get Jeffrey Simmons. I get the Vrabel connection, but I don't see it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We wrap up hour number one on this Tuesday. When we come back, we'll dive into college football. Vanderbilt came up short in Tuscaloosa, but the Commodores are still 5-1 heading into the bye week. Also, is college football as wide open as it's ever been? We're seeing elite teams at the top of the preseason rankings dropping like flies. Could Vanderbilt and could Tennessee make a run and get into the playoff this year? We'll talk about it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.